and welcome to AP on Play. My name is Anjali Prasad, and our guest this morning is Miss Dani Walsh, Bloomfield Township Supervisor. Good morning, Dani.
Good morning. Thank you for having me
Thank
today.
Thank you. I'm so excited to have you here. Tell us about yourself.
I'm born and raised in the township. I grew up on Wing Lake Road and went to all of the school systems here, and I'm back on Wing Lake Road, so I'm back in the house I grew up in, and I'm a little biased, but there's no better township or city to live in. I've traveled a lot for work. I've been in about 12 different other states, and although they all are pretty wonderful in their own ways, there's just something special about the people, the topography, and everything about the township that keeps pulling me back.
And now you're the township supervisor.
Yeah.
So you ran for township supervisor in 2020.
Yes.
Prior to which you were a Bloomfield Township trustee.
Correct.
And were they both, did you run for election in 2016 then for
yes.
the trustee?
Yes, that was actually the first time in township history that we had more than one person running for a spot. So typically it was, you were appointed into a spot, you ran unopposed, and you ran as the incumbent unopposed. And 2016 is when a lot of people said, hey, instead of sitting at home and saying what I would do, let's get out there and do it. So we actually had eight people running for four spots of trustees,
okay,
and we had at least two running for supervisor, treasurer, and clerk. So it was the first time that people were running with some competition.
How was your election experience? Because I ran in 2018 for Bloomfield
right.
Hills School Board, and I had a very, very difficult election experience.
Yes.
Which I shared with you last week. How was your experience running as trustee and then running as township supervisor?
I would say, so I have two different opinions on campaigning and running an election. When you stay true to yourself, I didn't become anybody different. I didn't spread any gossip. I don't like the mudslinging that comes. People will say anything to win. That's not who I am. So I ran mine a little differently. They were kind of nerdy. It was a lot of door-to-door, a lot of meet and greets in people's backyards, especially in 2020 when we couldn't be around each other. But it's probably the part of the job I hate. And I will use that strong word.
It's hard. It's so
it
hard.
It is the most distracting part of the job.
Yeah.
Because you're doing this job and people read something on an app that's totally not true, and then they'll come at you all day long while you're trying to do, and it's literally a distraction to me getting work done for the residents. So I personally don't like the drama that comes with it.
Yeah.
The say anything that taking signs, you know, that was amazing what you went through.
Did you have anybody steal your signs?
Because
my experience was very, very bitter.
Not mine, but when I thought about it, yours was 2018. In 2020, it was 2020, we did have people stealing other people's signs. There was a gentleman that stole 36 signs from three different contestants, people running.
Yeah.
And I just, knowing it's illegal, I never would even think to do it, let alone 36 times.
Yes, so, it's so crazy.
Right, and what I see that as, that person saw you as a very strong candidate.
Yes.
So they did their most unscrupulous things to win. That says a lot about how much they even though they won't admit they respected you, they thought that you were the biggest threat to win. So I try and look at it that way. When people throw all their barbs, I'm like, you know, you've got to throw the silver lining as well. They think I'm the best competition.
tell us, why did you run for township supervisor?
So I ran for supervisor. So sitting as a trustee, that's a lot like city council. So we have different names, but the same purpose. You're kind of the heart of the township. You keep the three administrators on the straight and narrow, make sure their focus is always with that. And I saw that here in Bloomfield Township, it's an amazing place. It's a gold standard, but a lot hadn't changed. We'd done a lot of the things the way we'd always done it. Everything just kind of felt like Groundhog's Day in a little bit. And I constantly kept getting, that's not the way we've always done it. And I thought, wow, I wonder if somebody with the business background and strategic planning could come in and say, how would you do it? And that's why I ran, because I thought, again, I have all these opinions. Instead of being an armchair trustee, I might as well see if the residents would put me in there. And basically, that was the reason I ran. It's just to try and keep some of the best parts of Bloomfield while bringing in some new ideas.
Right,
as well.
Right. I think we have a map up, so let's talk real briefly about the boundaries of Bloomfield Township.
Yes.
What are we looking at here?
So originally townships are 36 square miles.
Okay.
We are only 26 square miles. So even though our land mass is smaller than the typical township, population-wise at 45,000, we're still one of the largest, 10th or 11th. But when you look at this precinct map, this shows everybody who votes in each precinct, you can see three distinct cutouts. So although it would be that normal rectangle there, you can see at the top, it'll say City of Pontiac. That is the part of Bloomfield Township that got annexed out and is part of now Pontiac now.
Okay.
The rectangle in the middle is Bloomfield Hills, the city of Bloomfield Hills. That, again, used to be part of the township. I believe that was early in the 1800s that switched over to a city. And then you have Birmingham on the right, which was always part of the township. That's why there's the Birmingham Bloomfield Chamber of Commerce and things. That was
right.
Our downtown. They were a village within the township, and then they became a city in, I believe, 1932. So those three kind of, like we call Bloomfield Hills kind of our donut hole, because we surround around
it. Yes,
it's
right in the middle, yeah.
Yeah, and then there's Birmingham and Pontiac. So we work very closely with all three because we all need to thrive to survive.
Yes. So we have the city of Bloomfield Hills, the city of Birmingham, and Bloomfield Township.
And then the city of Pontiac at the top, too.
So what generally is what's the difference between a city and a township? Let's start there.
There's quite a bit of difference. One is public acts. We all statutorily are allowed to do different things. We have different requirements. And then also, in addition to what we're allowed to do, the biggest difference is taxes related to what you own. So a township can never go above 10 mils, and that's with your, when you think about how you pay your operating millages. We all pay tax bills that are much higher than 10 mils because we have library millages on there, we have the zoo, we have the smart bus, so there's all the others, the school system. We collect for all of them, but we don't get any of that money. We only take in 10 mils. And a township can never go above it. So if you need a new service and you're at 10 mils, you have to decide what you no longer give. Or you have to go out and rebid and find different ways to provide the same services. And then in a city, they can continue to tax as high as they want. So that's the danger of the city is if they need something more, they can add a new tax. So residents here are protected in... It cannot go above 10. You know what you're going to pay based on the value of your home, what your tax will be. And then the reason that they can go higher in tax is cities own infrastructure that we don't, and it's very expensive infrastructure.
Right.
Roads are owned by the county, owned and operated by the county system in a township, and it's owned by the city in a city system. So think of, we have about 270 neighborhood roads that we don't pay for. We also have main roads that we don't pay for to maintain.
So like Long Lake Road, which goes through Bloomfield Hills and Bloomfield Township all the way to West Bloomfield.
Right.
So Bloomfield Township doesn't own that stretch of Long Lake then?
Correct. It's a county. So the county takes care of it up to the hills.
Mm-hmm.
You guys take care of your part, and then the county picks up again on our other end.
Okay.
So we are the only township in the state that has a recognized road department that actually is official through the state, because since townships don't own roads, there's no need to have a road department usually. We do have a higher expectation of service here.
Well, I was going to say, is it a good thing or a bad thing?
For me as a resident, it's a great thing. And really, even though the county had some issues in the storm in January for their main roads, all of our neighborhood roads were completely cleared. And yet, other townships that rely on the county, their neighborhoods weren't touched for 8 days. So we had already done four or five passes on our roads by then. So as a resident, knowing you can get out of your neighborhoods, it's always cleared. As soon as the snow starts falling, we're out there.
Yes.
That's why we decided to do it. And also potholes, we can go and fill. The county has a maintenance agreement with us where we can do pothole filling, so we don't have to wait and get on a list for them on that. We can do some minor overlays. We don't have a large budget for it because, again, we don't pay taxes for that, but we do some. But it's that concept of there's no way they can truly take care of all of the county roads. There's 21
right.
townships in the county.
Right.
We all have needs. So that's why we don't have to pay for that as residents. so our taxes can stay lower, but then you also don't have brand new roads all the time in your neighborhoods.
So let me ask you this. Property assessments just came out, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
And so what does the property assessment, what does Bloomfield Township use their portion of the money for? What kind of services do you provide?
Sure. We have we focus mostly on life, safety, and wellness first. Those are statutory where you have to provide your people, police and fire. Some do outsource it. We have it all in-house, so we have just under 100 people in the police department and probably about 70 people in our fire department. We have four stations for fire. And so we do the majority, I would say probably 60% of our funds go towards public safety for police and fire. We also have a large DPW. Like I said, we're the large, we have the road, but then we also have probably about 50 or 60 people in that department. So that again is clearing when the county needs to come out and take care of trees that fall down in a storm.
Right.
Since we have all of the equipment, we can't, they've allowed us that we can go out and just clear the roads, clear the trees out of the roads. And so again, it gives that higher level of service. We also offer, so some are what we call enterprise accounts and they're fee based, which is, like our building and our building department. If you have a permit, that fee goes to help with that department. But we offer like senior services, which is special here because we have the highest senior population in Oakland County.
I was going to ask you, yeah, we have Bloomfield Township, probably Bloomfield Hills too, has significant aging populations.
Yes.
So what, you have the senior center, mm-hmm. right? When was that built?
This one here on campus was 2009, was when it went out for bond, so it was probably finished about 2010 or so. But it used to be, it goes all the way back to Mature Mingler days when it was run by the schools. It used to be on Wing Lake
Road. Mature Minglers, that's right.
That name.
Yes, yes.
So it used to be part of, back in the 90s, it was part of the school system.
Yes, I remember
that. And
they
ran it, and then the township took it on, and then we ended up building our own building over here.
And it's a nice building.
It is. It's really lovely.
Yeah, it's very lovely.
It's got a warm, one of the big things is it has a warm pool with the wheelchair access in. So being warm, especially when you're a little bit older, you know, I'm over 50 as well.
Right.
That cold temperature really gets, it makes it harder for people to be in the pool. So it is a warm pool so that they can come in and it's easily accessed by anybody.
And I think for Bloomfield Township residents, it's free if you're over 50.
Yes, it's free to access because we do pay the taxes.
Yes.
And then if you take any classes or do anything that has a fee associated to it, we get first choice. So
that's right.
First,
yes.
All of the residents, yes. Get, and if there's room, then they'll open it up to others.
Yeah, actually, just like the library, I think Bloomfield Township residents get first choice on the program.
Yes, yes.
Because they pay the taxes.
Right, right, exactly.
I want to talk about the library, but before we move on, are there any plans to expand the senior center?
So right now we have to keep it based on the bond language. It was bonded out in 2009. So currently it has to kind of run and maintain the way it is. One thing that we've expanded is, back in the day it used to be called adult daycare, but it's really somewhere for somebody who has dementia or anything. It's a place that you can come and you know they're safe. They have someone here taking care of them. We also have a compassion cafe that we started that Christine is our director, and she and our deputy director Ruth came up with. Sometimes it's hard if you have a patient with dementia to leave them somewhere they're not familiar with. So Compassion Cafe is where you would actually stay as a caregiver, but now you have people to socialize with.
That's nice.
They feel safe because you're there.
Yeah.
So it's everything from the drop-off where they're taken care of. There's, we try and do things to keep their mind active and to give them things to do while they're there. And then the Compassion Cafe is kind of that respite for both them and their caregiver.
Right.
Because it is a lot for somebody when they're doing at-home care.
I feel like all of our seniors should be taking advantage of the senior center if they're not.
It's amazing. Yeah. And a lot of us don't realize 50 and up is senior. So yes. I can technically go there now. And that's where, when we talk about future ideas, once the bond is up, I believe about 2032 or 3, you can then expand services where we might be able to bring in more like the boot camps and things like that, that the 50 to 60 might want a little
more.
Sure,
right.
Because really even 60 and up is different than we all were back in the day.
Yes.
You know, when my grandma was 60, she was not at the gym.
Right.
You know, and now they're at the gym, they're working out, they're in amazing health.
They are.
Yeah. And so what they're wanting is different. So we're looking into that. And also the concept of nights and weekends, it's closed. So once we can add other ages in, is it something that we in the future want to make it at nights and weekends as community and stay senior during the day? How do you balance that? But for now, nothing can really change because of the language in the bond.
Let's see. Moving on to the library, I know the millage just passed.
Yes,
so
they did.
Why don't you explain how that works?
So they are separate than us. They, although in the township, it's one of those where we collect taxes for them. And we oversee their budget, but they really have their own administration, their own board, so they are independently run.
Okay.
And then when they have a millage, they come to us, and we kind of plan together of, hey, let's not hit everybody up at the same time. So knowing that we didn't have any millages coming due on this last one, they ran theirs through, and this was just their general operation millage. So they weren't asking for anything special or out of the ordinary. It was just the millage needed to run it.
What is their budget, do you know?
I believe it's about $4 million. I don't want to be incorrect,
right.
But I think, again, we oversee it, but we vote on it for them, like, yes, you've made a good decision, but we don't go line by line with them. I feel like it was about $4 million, but it might be more.
So Bloomfield Township doesn't have anything to do with the day-to-day?
Not at all.
Of Bloomfield Township Library?
Correct.
Okay.
It's there to serve the citizens.
Right.
But it's run by its own administration. It's like they run their budget, they decide what they do each day. Annually, they come to us as stewards for the residents to say, these are our ideas,
right.
This is our budget. But other than that, one day, we don't really oversee at all their day-to-day. Director Tara Moon is the one that would oversee that. She's done an amazing job.
It's another special place in within Bloomfield Township.
Yes.
You've got the senior center, you've got the library. I was reading online, did I see there's also an animal shelter?
Yes, we do. And actually, other communities use our animal shelter as well as Birmingham. I don't believe Bloomfield Hills does, but Birmingham uses it. So it's something that animal shelter started, you know, with the Michigan law of, it's Michigan nuisance dog law back in the day, was to protect people from dangerous animals. So that's kind of the way it started. And then it became also a place for lost pets. It became a place for where they love and protect those animals. So it's something that if we could expand, I would love to add like a dog run, because right now dogs do stay in those cages, and it's just a temporary shelter. It's 14-day hold.
Where is it located?
Right behind the police station here. So right behind our building, there's an animal shelter building.
Okay.
And we're different than, so an animal shelter through the police is very different than like a humane society. Our goal is to, we're a temporary hold. So let's say you're in an accident and you have your dog in the car with you. We will hold that dog and take care of that dog while you're in the hospital, while you're there. If you have your dog or cat escapes the house and we find it, we will hold the dog or cat till you. So we kind of temporarily hold people's pets. We do find strays, but we can only hold them for up to 14 days, and then they get transferred to, like, the county or Humane Society, somebody that will help socialize them and make them adoptable. So if we do get a lost pet where nobody claims it and it's clearly adoptable, there are times that we've been able to have people adopt dogs and cats there, but really it's more of a connecting it back to the resident that animal belonged to. It's a temporary hold.
I never heard of this. I wonder if the residents even know about this service.
Well, they definitely.
I have never heard of this.
So they do love it. In 2019, when we did have some budget shortfalls, that was one of the services that got cut.
Oh.
And so that was a beloved service because it also helps with if a deer gets hit by a. So it does the normal animal shelter kind of animal control too. If a deer is hit in the road, they'll remove a dead deer or a raccoon. It's this other half that we have that makes it special and different than other communities. And it was one of the first things people said, we want that back. We want it back.
Right.
So we brought that service back by reaching out to other communities and saying, you know, we can help. We can keep this open by bringing in other communities that help fund it because now they have access to it as well.
So who else has access to it? Is it, I was reading maybe Birmingham?
Right now Birmingham does.
Okay.
And then We have one, possibly two other communities that are looking right now to also join in, because they've had enough mishaps that, you know, that lost pet, if you can reunite that person,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
it's just, and to know it's safe when you're in an accident, to know it's like,
it's a big
just
deal.
Different.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a place that they'll take care of them.
Have there been, let's talk about the changes that you've made since taking office. I know you took office in 2020.
Yes.
I know you're up for election in 2024. So tell the viewers a little bit about what changes have you made in the last 4 years
sure.
within the township?
So the changes I've made have been in tandem with, I have to give a shout out to all the employees and the board, because I couldn't have done any of this without the board having the same vision of let's keep everything wonderful about Bloomfield and make it even better. But then also the employees, you know, all the way from entry level all the way up to the department heads, they now know they can give ideas. So it used to be, that's not the way it's always done.
Yeah.
This is the way, keep your ideas to yourself, and in a nice way, but it wasn't a collaborative environment. And now in 2020, when I started reaching out with the department heads, I said, if you could restart right now and make this your own, what would you change? And so DPW in particular structured themselves very differently. Noah Mahalsey's kind of grown up through the ranks, and he said, I would like to restructure, move things around, add these other services. So we've restructured DPW, which is why we can respond quicker whenever things are, one person's not so overwhelmed.
Yeah.
He's kind of spread the wealth. We've brought back services. Again, through 2019, we had to cut a lot of services. So by changing the way we budget, I did change that, where it used to be kind of whoever was in first got what they want, and then by the end you get what's left.
Yeah.
So we now do, I meet with all 13 departments, and we see what they're, first we start with pie in the sky. If you had all the money in the world, what would you do? Then we start that in August. And then by October, we kind of narrow it down to what's needs versus wants, and we see all the needs we can cover. Now we already have our list of, okay, now we have this extra money, let's start pulling in what other services we can bring. That's how we could bring back all the household hazardous waste days. Also, those got cut in 2019. Mm. And so we now have all three of those days back. We've brought back the clean sweep starting this year. I think we're going to rebrand it, maybe like a spring cleanup, but at the end of at the beginning of spring, you have all that trash in the roads
yeah.
from the winter. It's nasty. So it's a time for HOAs and the community to get out, clean up the streets, and then we have an extra pickup for garbage to come through and get it all. We supply all of the bags. Everybody gets some T-shirts, and so we brought that back.
Did I see that you got a new garbage contract?
We did. And that was actually because GFL took over Rizzo. So we used to have, we've had multiple contractors over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Waste management, we've had GFL took over for Rizzo. Rizzo had that scandal issue. So although they provided amazing services, they could no longer operate.
Yes.
So GFL kind of took over their contracts. So we were still getting the services and the rates that were provided by Rizzo because they had to. When we came up for bid, honestly, they were hit very hard in 2020 by the pandemic. They lost of people. Yes.
Mm.
So it's a Canadian company
mm-hmm.
that operates now in the U.S. through all of those Rizzo contracts. They significantly lost a lot of their staff. So they were starting to miss a lot of routes. And it wasn't just one route. It was, hey, this stop. And it started picking up. Then it got to the point where trucks were no longer working. And so they were down trucks because they hadn't planned it out. And also there was a shortage in people not making the trucks during COVID.
Mm-hmm.
But they also
yeah.
hadn't necessarily pre-planned for it. So they got hit really hard compared to someone like Priority Waste, who already had placed the order, so they were getting the trucks. So I know Canton just recently switched over as well, because they had stopped getting compost service the entire summer.
Okay.
So compost is your yard waste.
Yep.
So imagine nobody ever coming to pick up your yard waste from May through October.
Yeah, it's frustrating.
It's a mess, too.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
So they would sometimes offer Saturday service.
Yeah.
Everybody had to put it out. So Canton just left as well. And I believe they had some trouble in Dearborn where they couldn't even pick up the trash. So their DPW employees were picking up the trash. So again, this was a company pre-pandemic we didn't have issues with.
Mm-hmm.
From the pandemic on, the services were, and it was all over. It wasn't like right now, 99% of it's perfect. There's like maybe one route that they have a repeat issue that we're trying to stop. That's so much easier to fix than what will happen today.
Right.
You know, and it's all over the township versus these single spot areas that are, you know, harder to turn for the truck or something like that.
Right. What would you say is the biggest complaint you get from the citizens of Bloomfield Township? Are they calling about trash or...
The biggest complaint is roads and the storm sewers, which unfortunately are the two things I don't run.
So what do you tell them?
I tell them we're their advocate. I feel their pain for sure because
yes,
I live on these
roads. Because you're a resident, yeah.
Right, and my house was actually destroyed in 2021 by storms.
Yeah.
So it was proof that I have water sewer, so there's no pipes coming in from the township to my home. It was literally the climate. It is too much rain, too many winds, and... So that was something that hit our township really hard, and it's the storm sewers are so old that they're not made for today's rains. They're 10-year storm when we're getting 100-year storms on a normal basis now.
Yeah.
So we're advocates for them. We work in tandem now with, well, we always have, but much more now with the Road Commission, with MDOT, because they own Telegraph, Woodward, and Square Lake. So we meet with them to talk about which ones they can fix, how they can make it better. And then with the Water Resource Commission, we talk with them about, okay, there's clearly some issues in this area. There's standing water. It's not a flood zone. It's not a wetland. Let's figure it out. So we had a meeting with probably about 20 of us with all three entities just recently of let's knock out these problem areas. Let's figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
And some of these have been going on for decades. So it's nice to see the groups finally coming together to solve things.
Danny, we're winding down, but let me ask you this one final question. If money were no object, what is the single most important thing you'd want to see happen or do in Bloomfield Township?
There's too many to mention all of them.
Okay, give me your top two.
When we think of life safety, the outdated fire station, my busiest fire station is Station 3 at Maple and Telegraph.
Okay.
It is my busiest station, and it is the smallest 1970s. It's not big enough to hold today's equipment. It's also not safe for the workers that live there because there's no protection from the carcinogens. So I would 100% change that so we could get better safety equipment for the residents and for those living there. And to be honest, and also be able to hire females because right now there's a gender equity issue with some of these older buildings. And the police station, again, to give more humanity to those that are coming in. Again, it's a 1970s style. There's newer things we could provide and offer if we had more room. So if I could, I'm going to be asking the state and the federal government for grants, so if any of them are watching, we need some updated facilities.
Yeah.
It's not offering the best services we offer the best services in the worst conditions of buildings.
Two very good causes.
Yeah.
Well, we're out of time, but I've enjoyed this
so much.
Thank you for viewing in. Danny Walsh, Bloomfield Township Supervisor. Thanks for viewing in to APN Play, and we'll see you again next time. Thank you.